Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with our producer, Katie Galley. This is the first episode of Pioneer's Path, and I got with me my co-host or host, main host, Tim O'Connor with the Terraform Group. Welcome, Tim.
Hey, thanks. I appreciate it.
Now, Pioneer's Path, what's your kind of vision of the show?
So we recognize in the business world, there's two kinds of people, right? There's the integrator, the detail-oriented person who makes everything work harmoniously together. But then there's the visionary in about half the companies that that we see. And that visionary is really built differently. They're genetically encoded to see around the next bend, or they're focused on culture or big relationships in the marketplace. And so it's those stories that we want to highlight here with the Pioneer's Path.
And you got a couple visionaries here in the room?
We do. We actually talked a couple of folks into coming into our inaugural episode. The first one we'd like to start with is Jeff Yon with Dynamics. Welcome, Jeff.
Thanks for having me.
So talk to us. Give us your Pioneer's Path, which led you into the studio today.
So I started my first real business in 2005 as a college sophomore. Started my first unofficial business at 14, setting up networks and infrastructure for small companies and people that my parents knew. So
now you had a funny story about you taking a phone call. Your mom took a phone call. Yep. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so it's 1999. No kid has a cell phone, and they would, clients would call my parents' house and say, "Hey, you know, it's Tim from State Farm. Is Jeff there?" And my mom would say, "Hey, Jeff, State Farm's on the phone." I go, "Oh, crap. Hey, how's it going, Tim? Yeah, sure, I can set up that network for you. What time can you come pick me up?" So I did that for about a year. And then I was like, it's a little weird being driven around by people that barely know. And you know, going setting stuff up. So I called it a day on that.
That is funny. So fast forward past that. What else happened on your path?
So 2005, I wanted an alarm system for my 99 Mercury Mountaineer that I had supercharged. Because why doesn't everybody?
Why not, right?
And so I had no money, college sophomore, and tried to figure out what I could do to earn that alarm system. And figured I was pretty good with computers. Had never built a website. Shy guy. I call myself a recovering introvert. I used to be so shy, I would run into people because I was looking at my feet. Not too far removed from that. And so I did what any guy who doesn't want to talk to people would do. I spent 3 months teaching myself how to design and code, built a website. Couldn't procrastinate anymore. Put on a dress shirt. Drove an hour and a half to this place. Just showed up and said, "Hey, you have a site. It's not very good. I built you a new one. Can I have an alarm system?" And yeah, so I was so nervous that I broke out in a red splotchy rash that was very embarrassing. And a sales guy walks by and says, "Dude, what's wrong with your face?"
Nice. So, that calms you right down, I'm sure.
Yeah. So I almost ran, but I figured I was like, I could just change the logo. I could come to another store next weekend, try this again. But I was like, you know what? I'm already here. Let's just see how this goes. Yeah. And I think them feeling sorry for me had something to do with it. But she said, you know, people come in every week trying to sell us a website. You're the first person who's come in with something done. It's better than what we have. Let's do this.
Wow. So you got your sound system.
Yep. And then second website was for Dub Magazine and Audiobon, a collaborative thing. And they did all sorts of stuff to my car. And then I was out of things to do and turned into a real company.
So I have to ask a question. So do you still have the car?
I do.
And it's looking pretty tight.
It had a 5.0 Mustang engine in it at first. I had a bigger supercharger put on it. 3 weeks after that, it blew the motor. So my buddies at Injected Engineering said, "Well, we can put in another 5.0 and it'll blow again in 3 more weeks, or you can man up, put in a Ford Racing 363. So I have that and a Kenny Bell supercharger on it with an intercooler. So,
and I can just tell you, that's just like a visionary to go out, see something that they want, do all kinds of crazy stuff to get it, and then all of a sudden they got exactly what they wished for and their engine blows up.
Yeah.
That's very typical.
And then too stubborn to leave it alone and just make it better.
Right. Exactly right. Okay, so fast forward. So where are you now, and how does where are you with your business?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, we've kind of always done things the hard way. Mm. I looked at it and said, there's a lot of bad software out there, and a lot of compromises made when it comes to creating a website. Mm. And people look at pretty and think that that means good. Mm. We like to say pretty is pointless. Mm. And so we made our business around developing things that actually solve a problem. Reframe that company in a way that someone will understand and resonate with, and help really good companies to stand out against the sea of people who are maybe a little less good.
Right.
And so that's kind of been our core for going on 13 years now. And it's led us to be, by all accounts, we can identify the world's most awarded website development company.
That's such a bold statement. How do you quantify that?
The world's most awarded?
Mm-hmm.
Well, since 2014 alone, we've won 917 trophies for our work, physical trophies.
Wow.
Across every major platform there is. And we didn't really set out to do that. We didn't really think anything of it. We just started winning a couple of these and you know, realized that a big part of it is that we have sort of an unusual approach in that we actively don't take on most clients.
Right. Do you feel like your business is a reflection of who you are and how you think?
Probably. I think I'm probably an unemployable entrepreneur. Mm. You know, I'm not a routine guy. I have to look at it and figure out how to blow it up and make it better. Mm-hmm. I can't just sit there and keep status quo on anything. So I think that's how I was able to be in something that's high change and for us to thrive.
Right. So a lot of times when you get someone who knows exactly who they are and they set out to build a company, they tend to play it safe and surround themselves with people who are very similar to them. How did, is that true for you? And if not, how did you guard against that?
So people that work for Dynamics are similar in that they all have a very good, a good approach and a good personality. They're not me first people. Mm-hmm. If they're a me first person, they're pulled out of the picture. Mm. We can't have that. They're people who care about the client, care about doing the best thing. Mm. And they're all people who are trying to move forward in whatever way they can every day. So that's the defining theme. I don't want people who are exactly like me, because my goal has been for years now to fire myself from everything that I'm not good at or someone could do better if they did it full time. Mm. And so if I get a bunch of me people, yes, guys, then I'm not going to be able to go down that path.
Right.
We have
right.
to be able to really accomplish what we need to for our client.
Right. So it's almost like a delegate and elevate mindset. So you're going to delegate the stuff that you want to get fired from and then let other people handle that.
That's yeah. Cool. And the biggest thing is making sure that there's someone who raises their hand and says, I can tackle that versus who's going to tackle that.
Right. So if you could snap your fingers and change one thing about your company today, what would it be?
Well, we're doing it now. We have been in a space that's way too small for us for 3 years. Mm. And on Friday, we signed a lease for double the office space. So that would be my big snap my fingers is a better space. And we just pulled the trigger on it.
That's fantastic. So you would actually snap your fingers and have everything moved over there, right?
Yeah. Well, what's funny is it's across the street. We watched this building be built.
Oh, really?
So
you're going from how many square feet now to?
From like 2,500 to 5,000.
Wow. Wow. How long is it going to be before you outgrow that?
I don't know. We'll have to figure that out.
So where do you see along those lines, where do you see your business being in 5 years?
You know, I think fundamentally we're a software company. Mm. And so that's what gets us excited. And so I see us continuing to work on opportunities where we can do great things at scale for people, like working on a franchise group, you know, where we can build something incredible. And instead of impacting one company in a local area, impact 40 companies around the country that all share a similar philosophy and approach.
Right.
That's what's exciting to me is being able to put the time into it, but also have a greater impact. Mm.
So if you could go back, because now we're talking to that other generation, that younger generation of visionaries who may not even know how to go out and get themselves a sound system in a car, right? They don't know how to take that first step, or they're trapped in an organizational, an accountability chart deep inside the bowels of somewhere. What would you want to give them as a piece of advice, based on where you are now, your history, your path, what would you tell them?
Find something that you can't lose or you can't lose big on. So everybody thinks of life as this sort of ever going kind of up and to the right kind of curve. Mm-hmm. And what I found is that it's plateaus and stair steps. Mm. And so you're kind of where you are and you're just there. Mm. And an opportunity comes up and you seize it and you make it something, you know, that happens. You go up a step, maybe two steps. Something bad happens, you go down a step or a couple steps.
Right.
I always look for opportunities where you could take a step up if it happens to turn into something, but you won't take a step down if it doesn't. So like that first website, I was teaching myself how to do something I needed to do anyway. Mm. If I got there and they said no, then I'm still where I was. Mm. The rejection didn't cost me anything. I go change the logo, make a couple tweaks, go pitch it to someone else. Eventually I'll get that stair step.
Right, right. Because it's very unusual to be a visionary one, right? We believe you're genetically encoded to be one or not. You think differently just by virtue of, you know, how you were made. Your story is unique. What would you go back and tell a younger version of yourself?
I would probably say calm down. Mm-hmm. You know, I think for people who are strongly driven, it's harder to relax than it is to move forward. And, you know, sophomore year, I started the company. Senior year, I had a full-time employee, a house, an hour off campus, two-hour daily commute. Mm. I did not enjoy or experience my senior year at all. Mm. I had to literally go to all my professors and say, class is cool, but I own a company and I'm going to leave when the phone rings. It'll be on silent. Might not come back. I'm going to miss class. I'm going to miss tests. You can pass or fail me. I'm not changing my behavior based on you. And I just charged head first. And, you know, here I am, you know, 13 years later, it'd be kind of cool to have had that senior year back because you can't go back to those things. And so stop and enjoy the process a little more is what I would tell myself.
Right. Didn't you say that you had a full-time employee at that point when you were senior in college?
Yep.
Yeah. So enjoy the journey.
Yeah. And there have been a bunch of things like, you know, I can only think of like three times where I've stopped and said the day can only get worse from here. I'm going home. One was getting in Fast Company. I was like, that's just awesome. One was a three-way email conversation with Steve Wozniak and John Scully from Apple. Mm. And there's just a couple of those. And there's been all sorts of cool things that when I look back, I'm like, that was really awesome. I wish I had taken the time to enjoy that. Mm. And I still am bad at that, but I used to be horrendous about it.
Really?
So that would be another thing.
That'd be something else you'd tell a younger version of you. Yeah.
Enjoy the victories.
So what's next for you?
Continuing on the path, you know, things are accelerating, having more fun than ever, and getting to change a lot of really cool companies in really awesome ways. And so I've never been having so much fun.
Oh, that's fantastic. Where can we see you? Because you're all over the place, right? So you're published here, published that, you contribute to this. And
yeah, sure. So if you want to see personal stuff, I've been in Inc. and Forbes and Huffington Post and all over. You can just type in Jeff. J-A-H-N is my last name, pronounced Yan in Google. Or if you just search Dynamics, D-Y-N-A-M-I-X, you'll find us.
Oh, that's great. Well, listen, thanks so much for being on the show today and sharing your thanks unique path with us. And I think we got a lot of great stuff from your story. So, and if we could have you back on at some other point down the road, would you?
Would love to.
Oh, that'd be great.
That's great.
Thank you so much. Well, next up on our show, we have Mr. David Golding, and he is from Ensign Building Solutions. And David, thanks so much for being with us.
It's my pleasure to be here, Tim.
Well, so I'll ask the same question. So tell us about your path.
Well, I fear that my story is a little bit less exciting and doesn't involve muscle cars.
hardly a muscle car in a Mercury Mountaineer.
Well, a 5.0, I figured it would count. So I had worked several jobs and in corporate America and corporate Japan, if you could call it, did a lot of traveling. And at the time my fourth child was born, my wife said no more. So I decided that I had to do something different.
No more children or no more traveling?
Well, no more traveling. Got because it. Child number five did come.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. At that point, I recognized I had to do something local. So I changed industries entirely and worked for a building science company. Mm. And really, that was my first exposure that wet my feet into something that I realized that I had a passion for, which is construction. Mm. So something very different, you know, from the virtual world is, building and building homes and making homes better, more comfortable. And so I found that I had a passion for it and worked for that company for a year, found an opportunity to take a leap of faith and knew that I would have a customer base. And once I did that, started my own company. It's been now 12 and a half years and now 50 employees later, we're doing well.
Wow. Wow. So you got lucky then because you went to work for someone else that in a space that just so happened to light you up.
Yes. I guess I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit. I took an entrepreneurship class while in college. I knew that I eventually would want to work for myself, but really never had the opportunity until it was. I feel like it was a blessing that just fell in my lap and an opportunity arose. And so after a $1,600 loan from my parents to go and get the training that I needed and the certification, that was the point at which I said, okay, I can make a business out of this.
Hmm. Wow. So tell us about the path of the company then, because it's been 12 years. Describe that.
So the first couple of years I was doing work myself. You know, it was me and a couple of people. And I had a bookkeeper who was loyal, who was working at a very, very inexpensive rate. And she's still with me today. Mm. And it was us and a couple of people with a vision of what we wanted to become. And it was difficult because at the time, I think you mentioned initially integrator versus visionary. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, my whole career has been about balance and I had to be both. I had to be both the integrator doing the work, understanding the operations, the nuts and bolts, the math behind it, making sure everything worked out well, but also understanding that I had a goal, a long-term vision I wanted to accomplish.
Right. So how did you communicate that vision along the path and how do you do it today?
Boy, trying to instill your vision into other people, I think that's one of the greatest challenges, especially for employees. It's really about understanding people and understanding what motivates them and then trying to tie the two together. If you can motivate somebody and help them to see your vision and get them to drive the same direction you're going, I think that's where the success comes in.
Right. Well, that's kind of the holy grail of, you know, of entrepreneurialism is getting everyone rowing in the same direction.
That's right.
So it's funny because we see a lot of organizations with people trying to push rope and they all have their own version of that vision. So I was just curious, you know, how you continuously and consistently communicate that.
Yes. No. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, one of the things that I think adaptability, and you had asked Jeff a question, I think it lends itself to this question though, of a vision, understanding that, we would have to, especially when the market crashed, right? 2008, 2009, the construction industry just took a deep nosedive. And whereas we had seen some success in those first 3 years since 2005, first 3 years of business were successful, a little bit better each and every year, then we met with the roadblock and one that a lot of people faced. And so it was adaptability, understanding that we were going to have to be able to offer services what our customers were demanding. So in order to be able to stay profitable, we had to go and start branching out and doing other things besides our basic service offering.
Right. Right. And so, I mean, you could have done anything, right?
We could have done anything related to construction. And then that's where we're at right now. And that was the vision that we had from the beginning is let's, you know, slowly start to implement these other services, these other facets of construction and enable that to help us to stay profitable through the lean times.
Right. And that's really hard to do sometimes is to reposition, especially when, you know, we went through what we did, you know, in 2007, 2008, you become known for something, but then to pivot, you know, then have everyone know you for that new thing is pretty difficult too, as you face some challenges with that.
Absolutely.
How'd you overcome those?
I think it's establishing trust. You know, if anyone's going to buy something, they're going to have a level of trust in your ability to perform as well as your integrity. It's not just, they have to believe that you're the expert. And so I think it requires a certain level of confidence to be able to go out there and say, yes, I can do that. you know, hey, can you do this as well? You know, you're already doing this for us. Can you right. do this also? Well, sure, I can. If there's money in it, then I'm going to make it happen.
Right.
So sure, I can be the expert in that as well. It's going out and educating yourself, learning from every possible avenue you possibly can, read everything you can. And I can do that.
Mm-hmm. Now, and you and I talked before, and it struck me that you don't feel like you need to or can do this by yourself. I mean, you sought out wise counsel from others. Tell us why, and then what did you ask?
Well, as far as running a business, not just the technical aspects, but the business aspects itself, I tried to surround myself with people who were smarter than me. Mm. Somebody who understood the technical piece, somebody who understood the accounting piece. And as we started to grow, bigger and bigger. It was really about finding the right people to fill those positions and keep us moving forward in the right direction. Mm.
Now that's internally.
Right.
Right. And what about externally? Who'd you reach out to? Experts, peer groups, you know, tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So externally, there were a tremendous number of people that, I could write a whole book on each one of them, actually. Mm. Whether it was just contacts within the industry or people within church that I had worked with in the past, leaders that I looked to, their leadership style, various things that I wanted to adopt from them on how to motivate people, how to understand people, and how to motivate them to accomplish the goals that you had set out for them, how to get them to set their own goals. Mm. So it was... really, leadership, I think, is one of those keys as far as you know, the earlier question you asked and how do you get other people to row in the same direction and see that ultimate vision that you have. I think it's effective leadership requires being an example, going in that direction, but also giving, being able to motivate other people.
Right. Okay. So I hear a lot of trust is a big part of what you do and you build trust. People is the vehicle and the component that's near and dear to your heart. Let me ask you this. So what is the number one biggest mistake that you made in your path of being a visionary? What's the one mistake you made that you wish you can go back and fix?
My initial answer, Tim, is going to be keeping people too long. Mm. And when I, you know, everyone has their why. I think every entrepreneur has a why or a couple of whys on why they do what they do. Because I thought it was going to be a 40 to 60 hour work week. It was an 80 to 90 hour work week for the first 5 to 6 years. Mm-hmm. And that was realistic for me. so I had to understand exactly why I was doing what I wanted to do. Mm. And one of the reasons or one of the whys, besides just the intrinsic being able to, you know, support my family, was I wanted to be able to provide employment for people who needed work. I like to be able to say, oh, you need a job? Okay, I've got you one over here. Mm. You know, come and I'll train you. I'll teach you. And as long as you're dependable and do what you say you're going to do, and as long as you're honest, then there's a job for you here. So I think that desire, that love, that passion of being able to provide for other people made me always think twice or three times or four times or six times when it came to employees who did not perform the way they should. Mm. So that to me, keeping people too long has cost me a lot of money. From a business standpoint, business owners would look at me and say, you know what? That's a poor decision. You know, you kept them way too long. And I recognize that from a financial standpoint, but because employment to me is such a blessing, I have to question whether or not it was truly a mistake.
Interesting. Good. If you could go back and talk to a younger version of you, what would you tell him?
Believe, just confidence. I think it's just a matter of understanding your strengths and understanding your weaknesses better, right? You got to know your strengths, but you got to know your weaknesses as well. And believing that you can overcome those weaknesses, employ your strengths, and overcome obstacles. So just believe.
Interesting. So where do you see your business in 5 years then? Fast forward us all the way. Be a visionary.
So in 5 years, we will have... grown significantly. We've grown every single year in business in the last 12 years. Mm. And we'll be offering similar services, but getting into different aspects. It's really just about meeting financial goals at this point. I would love to be able to branch off a little bit and even start a nonprofit employing people who have a difficult time finding finding their way in the community, finding work. People who, you know, by all intents and purposes are unemployable. And I'd like to give those people a chance. So that's one thing that I'd love to see in 5 years to be able to do.
Right. So that's sounds like it's feeding your passion. Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we see that. We see that evolution. It goes from, we pay the bills. It goes from success to significance at some point, right? And so it sounds like you're entering into that phase now after 12 years, you know, where you feel like you have a platform that you could be creating and feeding a purpose.
Yes, and very much so.
Good, good. Last question. If you could snap your fingers right now and change anything about your business, what would it be?
Growth, really, you know, I think is similar to what Jeff's issue is here. So we're in about a 5,000 square foot facility. I need about 10,000 to 12,000 square feet. So I'm looking for land and hoping to build a new complex that we can have room to grow in.
So it's awesome to have two growth-minded visionaries in the studio at the same time. I'm not sure if the earth will crash into the sun at any time, but it is. It's always a pleasure to host you guys. And thank you so much for pouring back into that next generation of visionary. So this has been David Golding with Ensign Building Solutions.
Well, Dave, a website for you guys?
EnsignBuildingSolutions.com.
And before we wrap, I want to ask both of you, as you've kind of matured and your companies have matured, legacy seems important. Dave, you mentioned that you want to start a foundation and give back and help people get on their feet and get jobs and things. Jeff, is there any place that you're doing to look to kind of make an impact on young people or kind of cement your legacy a little bit?
Yeah. So for me, I feel like I'll never have more impact with college students than I do now. Because I'm still young enough that they go, hey, he's not one of us, but he's not far removed. And so I've put a lot of my time and attention towards that type of thing. Speaking of high schools and colleges, I'm on the KSU's entrepreneurship board. I'm also on Berry College's board of visitors. And so that's where I'm putting a lot of my time, energy, and money right now, is helping students realize they can do the things that they are being told they can't do.
Now, each one of you mentioned kind of in the back of your mind, entrepreneurship, but it sounds like each one of you went to college and decided to at least have a somewhat backup plan a little bit. What was the thinking there?
Oh, goodness. Well, my intent was I was planning on being a professional baseball player up until my second year in college. So my fallback plan was going to be I wanted to teach, you know, after retiring. That didn't work out. So this is my backup plan.
You're living your backup plan?
That's right. No, the college education, I knew that, you know, from the beginning, I wanted to be educated. And that was an essential for me from my childhood.
Now, do you see lifelong learner? I mean, right now, college seems to be the path for most people to get their learning. But like in your case, Jeff, you don't have to necessarily go to college to get the skills you need for your industry.
Yeah. So I'll step back and say, I've always been a pretty poor student. I was always that guy that if you couldn't show me why I should care, I didn't care. In high school, my dad told me, get a 3.0 and I'll leave you alone. So I got a 3.2 and played games on my palm top with a laptop. And that was it. And then jumped into college and I didn't really get excited about it until I started the company. And then I saw a purpose. You know, first 4 years of college is theory. And I was like, I'm actually putting this stuff into practice. And so for me, I was very transparent with the professors. I said, I don't care about this degree because I'm never going to work for someone. I understand that now. What this is bringing value to me for right now is I'm actually getting to go out there and hear you suggest something, go try it out, come back and get guidance from you. And so my professors all became mentors and they're still mentors to me now. It wasn't the actual education. I was a marketing major. You can't go to college for what we do. But the education was so much more than book learning for me because I kind of adapted the college to what I needed out of it.
Now, in both of your cases, your visionaries, the integrator is an important component. And I guess, Dave, you realized that early on. So you were kind of finding integrators everywhere you can turn, right? What about you, Jeff? Like, I know you want to fire yourself in every job, but are you replacing yourself with the people that can do the work that you're satisfied with?
Obviously. Yeah. So it's interesting. I hadn't really heard the distinction between integrator and visionary put in a tangible way until 2 weeks ago. And it was the day before Tim and I spoke, and I was like, oh, wow. How weird how the world works. You know, things get connected several times in a row and you go, oh, geez, something is beating me up. I need to pay more attention to this. Mm-hmm. And so it opened up my eyes to a couple things that we can be doing a little differently and better in areas where I feel like I'm holding us back because I'm playing the visionary role, but I'm also playing the integrator role in a couple things. Mm. And so just having looked at that chart, I've been able to start making some adjustments and hand the reins off to guys in my organization who are perfectly capable of doing some of the things that I've been holding just because I was holding them. Mm-hmm.
Right.
One way I've always put it, just to reiterate what you've said, is I want to only do the things that only I can do. Mm-hmm. And if I can delegate and train somebody else to do it, then that's what I need to do it. And that enables me to be the visionary instead of the integrator.
Right.
At this phase in our business.
Yeah, that's so important because delegate and elevate, it's one of the five abilities that I coach. It's probably the hardest one for a visionary to really understand and embrace because a lot of times that visionary was the founder of the company, chief bottle washer, cook, you know, the whole thing. But then eventually at some point it gets too big, too complicated for them to do those things and effectively help them guide the organization forward. So that doesn't surprise me that, you know, that's the most common thing. What's refreshing to hear is two guys who are really focused on that and embrace that. So great.
Good stuff. Well, Dave, once again, website for you guys?
EnsignBuildingSolutions.com.
And Jeff?
Just Google Dynamics.
All right. And thank you, Tim O'Connor, so much. The Terraform Group makes this show happen. What's the best way to get a hold of you?
For me, just go to TerraformGroup.com or you can reach out on my mobile at 678-984-0521.
All right. This is the inaugural episode of Pioneer's Path. This is Lee Cantor for Katie Galley. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.